I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
For the culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and rotting with me this evening. Folks, we are going to have our big conversation tonight, and it's none other than with the great mayor of the city of Baltimore, Mayor Brandon Scott. This is part of our monthly discussions that we have with Mayor Scott. And we're always happy to have him on to talk to us about the latest developments of the things happening in and around Baltimore. And, of course, in a few moments, we'll open up the phone lines to give you an opportunity to chime into the conversation. But as of now, let us welcome back to the airwaves of WEAA and For the Culture, Mayor Brandon Scott. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Brother Faraji. How are you?
I'm good. It's always good to talk to you, sir.
Amen. Same thing to you, brother.
All right, let's talk. Okay, let me start off the conversation this way, Mr. Mayor. 15 million doses. I'm going to start that conversation just like that, Mr. Mayor. We're talking about the situation around Johnson & Johnson, the vaccination mishap with Johnson & Johnson and the emergent company. Give us some insight, Mr. Mayor. First and foremost, this is Johnson & Johnson has been the vaccine, I would say, of preference, of course, for, you know, there are other vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna. But Johnson & Johnson, because it's produced here in the city of Baltimore, and you have put some time and resources to make sure that this vaccine gets out to people, 15 million doses. How does that issue, this situation, affect the vaccination situation for the city?
Well, I think it's an unfortunate incident, Faraji, just because we know how critical a time it is. And as someone who had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, knowing that it is effective and it works in one dose, which eliminates a whole bunch of the second, you know, eliminates the need for a second shot and all of the follow-up work that goes in. But we know any time that humans are involved, there's going to be mistakes. We know that Johnson & Johnson, while Emergent was taking a lead on the production, that Johnson & Johnson and the feds have came in and really have taken hold and making sure that that's moving in the right way. We are hoping that it won't be a severe impact for us. We were still getting mainly Pfizer and Moderna vaccines already. We know that it will have some impact, but we are going to continue to get out vaccines to the residents of Baltimore City. That issue will correct itself. They will correct that issue. We know that other vaccines are being ramped up as well, and we're going to continue to push to get the vaccine out to our city in an equitable way, which is important. As of today, actually, Faraji, 162,000 people in the city have at least one dose, and that's about 27% of the population. We have a long way to go. We were a lot worse off we're better than we were last month, but nowhere near where we need to be as far as equity in that. 18% of our black residents have been vaccinated and 36% of our white. Now, we were at about 14 black residents the last time I spoke with you, so we're seeing that increase. And to that end, we have now created a one-stop shop for local vaccine appointments that folks can find at covax.baltimorecity.gov that does that for us. We're thankful to the innovation of Microsoft, working with our health department, and our residents now have the ability to pre-register vaccinations as they become available. No longer need to hunt between different places. Just go to covax.baltimorecity.gov, put the information in there. That partnership between Microsoft and the health department is another example about collaboration and how we can streamline this process to make sure that people are vaccinated.
So, Mr. Mayor, one of the things that was reported about this whole situation came from the New York Times. They broke the story about this, this whole contamination piece. But in the latest story that came out today, earlier today, the New York Times, it was reported, quote, audits and investigations, including ones conducted by in 2020 by Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, because that's the other vaccine that was mistakenly put into the Johnson & Johnson doses, two federal agency and Emergent's own quality evaluators found that Emergent had not followed some basic industry standards at the Baltimore plant and identified repeated shortcomings in efforts to disinfect and prevent contamination. While audits always find problems, federal officials and outside experts said that the pattern of lapses suggested deeper quality issues. Is there a conversation happening with you and your within your administration to possibly say, okay, maybe Emergent is not the one to do this? Because what I'm thinking, there's already, as you know, Mr. Mayor, vaccine hesitancy. So is there going to be a change of companies before this? Or if there isn't a change, how can you, you know, assure the residents of the city of Baltimore that they're not going to be injected with contaminated doses?
Well, I think, Faraji, as you know, these kind of decisions with the vaccines and which ones will be approved will be made by the federal administration. And we know President Biden and his folks have gotten in deep into this situation to make sure that things are happening the correct way. I know what we will do is make sure that we're working alongside our partners at the federal level and the state level to make sure that vaccines that we're getting here are of the utmost integrity and that we're giving people the information and the proper vaccines that they need. We cannot accept that these kind of mistakes can continuously happen. I have the utmost confidence in my president, my vice president, and their administration to correct all the issues around vaccine and vaccine production to get them to the states and then down to the local governments to happen in the right way. But, again, for us, also it's important to, again, note that we still have these other vaccines, Moderna and Pfizer, that we're getting in larger clips to begin with. And knowing personally that even that vaccine works, I think it's an important fact as well.
All right, folks, if you're just tuning in to For the Culture here on WEAA, we're talking to Mayor Brandon Scott, getting the latest developments about everything from the vaccination here in Baltimore City to other issues. In a few moments, we'll open up the phone lines to give you a chance to join us in a conversation. So make sure you stay tuned. So given that, I mean, is there anything that the city can do at this point? Because I know it's all on the federal side of things and even possibly on the state side. But is there anything in particular that the city can do to make sure that this mishap doesn't endanger the lives of the residents?
Yeah, what our health department and our folks will do is work through the process. And we know that this process is a federal and a state a run process, and we know that those folks are on it, and they work with our local folks will work through them to make sure that everything is being followed and all the protocols are being followed.
All right. I want to switch gears on that, Mr. Mayor, because, you know, the city is still going through some changes. And, you know, one of the big things that you have really touted as being a keystone for your administration, sir, is the fact that, you know, as the city is going through growth changes and changes in the culture, you still want to make sure that there's some equity and there are some level of racial reckoning that is happening right now. And I'm bringing that up because of the latest issue with the removal of the statue of Captain John O'Donnell, who was removed from Canton Square. This was just done yesterday when this happened, last night, actually, in the wee mornings of this morning, actually. But you made sure that this was done. Why is this so important to remove this statue at this point in time?
Well, first, Faraji, I just want to again thank the folks from the Canton Anti-Racism Alliance for their work in this incident, but also to build a more inclusive Baltimore. And like I said yesterday, this is a moment, not just, and you and I have talked about this, not just here locally, but around the country, around the world. We're talking about this racial reckoning, and we're talking about that. And for me, and you know, for me, that is really going to be focused on through policy. That's why I passed our equity law. That's why I hired our first chief equity officer. That's why that office is going to be focusing on the historic policies and practices through operations of city government that has helped to lead to this racial inequity in our city. We're going to deal with that in a very deep and unique way. But we also have to deal with these monuments, and there are countless other monuments, statues, streets, school names across Baltimore that have to be looked at and reassessed. These symbols are really occupying our collective landscape, and they matter. You and I have always really talked about Mayor Preston, right? And we have Preston Street, and with all the egregious things that happened that he and policies that he pushed. And what we're going to do is work through our city administrator with our planning department and others, groups and folks who have been involved in this work to comprehensively look at procedures for reviewing these monuments and names and how we're going to move forward. And more information about that will be forthcoming. And I would be very remiss, Brother Faraji, if I didn't bring this up, because mm-hmm. you know, there are some folks who, you know, when they see a statue come down, they like to go to their favorite go-to, and that's their fingers, and talk online about, well, why don't they focus on crime or this? When the statue was falling, I was in Hollandtown walking with our Latin brothers and sisters about fighting against violence in our city consistently. We can do both. It doesn't have to be an either-or. We can focus on the imagery, yeah. the structural racism, all of the things in policy, and focus on COVID and crime at the same time. Right. We have that ability, and that's what we'll do.
Here's my only thing about that, Mr. Mayor. I feel like, you know, and I understand the sentiment that the station, I mean, the statues need to fall. But I think my only thing is that, you know, are we in the process of trying to erase history, especially for the next generation, which I know you always get concerned about what the next generation is being taught. But, and I'm saying in this instance, removing statues, changing names, is it as form a way of sanitizing the history versus just letting it be what it is and say, hey, look, this is a statue of a man that owned black people who were enslaved. This is, you know, this is this person, this is that person. Because our children need to have, a context, a reference point of who these people are. And so when the question is asked, well, why did he got a statue if he did such a nasty thing? It'd be like, because we live in a country that sometimes reward the worst of people. So, I mean, that's my only thinking about the whole statue issue is that there is a part of it where we are trying to disregard a very important part of our history. What's your take on that, sir?
And I think, Brother Faraji, I would say that I agree with you. And that's why you're going to see, as we go through this process, this reckoning process that the administrator and my team and myself were putting together, it's about how we deal with all of it. Because we have so many things. And I think one of the things that I think we're going to consider, and I've told the team we have to consider strongly, is about putting things in their proper perspective, where you're putting notes or whatever on things to say, this is who this person truly is or was. And that's why we're pulling the thought leaders in that area, those folks, the arts, culture, all those people together, we're going to work with to do just that, because we're not going to just do something that will allow us to try to act like things didn't happen to happen.
Absolutely. Folks, we've been talking to Mayor Brandon Scott. If you want to join us, you can do that at this point, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Also, make sure you post your comments on my Facebook page as we're broadcasting live on there. So given that we are in we're in this space of equity, you know, a couple of maybe like last week or so, we had a conversation around reparation and what happened in the town of Evanston, Illinois, how they've kind of moved forward on creating a commission around that. Would you be open Mayor Scott, to at least establishing a study? Not saying that, and I'm not even getting into, oh, paying us and all of that. I'm just simply saying, would you be open, Mr. Mayor, to creating a commission or bringing some folks together you know, like a Dr. Ray Winbush and other folks, to possibly to come together to start working on how the impact of the transatlantic slave trade has impacted black folks here in the city of Baltimore. Is that a consideration for you?
Well, I'll just say, you know that it is. And I, without giving out too much information, I think that you'll hear from me and my administration in the near future about ways that we think that we can start to help in that sense and through some things. But absolutely, and you know the respect that I have for Dr. Winbush.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's good to know, because I'll throw my hat on the table, sir.
Absolutely, brother.
I'll throw my hat on. I want to, you know, because I want to make sure that there is some that the legacy of our children is secure in that respect. Like, they have to know there has to be something to come out of that experience, and so that's very, very important to me. So, you know, I know you're working on your side on those things, but wanted to at least put it out there publicly that there is something, that the ball is starting to get rolling on that issue. Because we need it, Mr. Mayor. You and I both know it. We really need it.
No, I think it's an important thing. And there's no way that we can let this moment pass us by without having the complete conversation. And that's at the local and the level, but at the state and the national level as well.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines and hear what folks got to say. 410-319-8888. Ms. Linda, thank you for your patience. What's your question and your comment for Mr. Mayor?
Okay. Praise the Lord and good evening and God bless to both of you and everybody. And I just want to say the mayor made a statement about how everything could be, you know, dealt with. God is the God of all. And there's miracles getting ready to take place that's going to blow the minds of the people. I was on hold for IG4 because I wanted to send my prayers up for DMX.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that he is next in line for a miracle. There are miracles getting ready to take place, like I said, that's going to blow minds. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. They talked about how he hit rock bottom, but you have to hit rock bottom
mm-hmm.
to discover the rock, and that rock is Jesus. He
yes,
is
ma'am.
Going to live and not die.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's going to be a living testimony to touch the lives of younger ones that's coming up that may be in the same situation that he's in.
Yes, ma'am. There it is.
I just want everybody to know that God is moving. Maybe he's shaking up, shaking down, and let the chips fall where they may.
Thank you, Ms. Linda. You're absolutely
God
right. God bless you too, Ms. Linda.
Thank you so much
for checking in. Let's go back to the line. Let's hear from Ms. Renee. Ms. Renee, talk to me. You're on the line with Mr. Mayor Brandon Scott.
Thank you for taking my call, Brandon and Mayor Scott. I'm a resident homeowner, and I have an abandoned vehicle in front of my house. I made a call for 311 non-police emergency, and I got these COVID excuses on the phone. You know, our city services being backed up because of COVID, and I want to know why. Are people coming to work? Are people getting paid? I need to make sure that these services are continuing. You know, I'm a been a resident of Baltimore all of my life, and I get a little irritated when I make a call and I can't get any results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Renee, for checking in. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Brother Faraji, and thank you, Ms. Renee, and I'm sorry you went through that experience. The facts are that many services are impacted by COVID, and not just because people aren't working or they're sick, but also when you look at the orders that the governor and other folks have put in, it puts limitations on some of the things that we can do. But Ms. Renee, for you, what I'm going to do is get Brother Faraji, if I can get it from you, get the contact information for Ms. Renee so that we're able to get her the services that she needs and deserves.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir. We'll absolutely. Miss Renee, just give us a call right back, and we'll make sure that my producer, Demi, is able to get that to you. I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, we got a question coming in from social media a couple of times from many people about this big bill, the security deposit bill that just was passed in the council yesterday that, according to the reports, give renters additional options for paying security deposits over the concerns of several council members and advocacy groups. Under the bill, landlords will, with 10 or more units who charge a security deposit of more than 60% of a month's rent, would have to offer prospective tenants two alternatives: either pay the deposit in three monthly installments or purchase rental security insurance. And, of course, you may have heard that some of the members of the council are talking, saying that the argument around the insurance was a misleading term. Because it's offered, insurance was a misleading term for this type of a security deposit alternative because it's typically used for a surety bond. So give us your insight. Is that a bill that you are looking to sign, Mr. Mayor, around this security deposit situation?
Well, I mean, Faraji, the bill passed last night, and what will happen, as you know, I have three council meetings to take. To take action on any piece of legislation. I'm going to be reviewing that bill with my team, as I do with every piece of legislation, and talking to parties involved and making the best decision from there. That decision is not going to be made in such a quick fashion on a piece of legislation that has been passed and not even a full day yet.
So, I mean, and so one of the big issues around that is the fact that it feels like the tenant will still be responsible for either some additional money or, you know, some claims that the landlord has made. And as you know, renting in Baltimore City, in terms of the culture of renting, how from high cost to, you know, the things that legally and illegally things that landlords can do, has caused a real problem for a lot of people. I mean, you know, if you move into a place, they want to take your all of your security deposit for things that they should already be doing, replacing the rug, painting the walls, and that type of thing. How do we stop this level of victimization? Have you had a chance to talk to some housing advocates about this?
Yeah, Faraji, and we'll talk to more of them. And it's also about giving our folks, I think we have to look at it. I think that the vote on this bill was 13-2, but I think that we have to, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but we also have to look at the options for our residents, knowing that, for example, as you know, if I would talk to some of my neighbors about the older adults who live with me, and when they moved in, if they could break their deposit up, they probably prefer to do that. And what we're going to be doing through this process of analyzing the legislation is thinking about all of those things. But also, we know that beyond this one bill, Brother Faraji, we have to deal with how we're protecting tenants and people who are renting in our city in many other different ways. This is why I pushed through and passed a bill about legal representation for tenants. There are so many things that we have to do. And then you and I have also talked about how we're going to have a strict focus on taking people who are paying $1,100, $1,200 a month in rent, who could own a house for $700-$800.
Right.
We have to do that as well. All of these things should preserve affordable home ownership, and we're going to make the best decision about this bill as in getting the information that we need and also looking towards those other kind of programs and focuses that we need to have in a city like Baltimore.
Absolutely, because one of the things, Mr. Mayor, that's killing people, you got double security deposit on a $1,200 situation. You know, and then he said, "Oh, you got first month's rent." I mean, you kicking it up from $1,200 to $2,400 to $3,600 for a little space, and you like, man, I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, that's a lot, and we got a lot to work on.
Yes, sir. Let's go back to the line. Liv, thank you so much for checking in. You're on the line with Mayor Brandon Scott.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking the call, Faraji.
You're welcome.
And good evening, Mayor Brandon Scott. I want to thank you for mentioning what you just talked about the victimization that's going on with those who are renting in Baltimore City. I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront and that you're aware of what's going on. my first point is I'd like to throw my hat into, as well as Faraji did, when you do form that Transatlantic Slave Trade Commission leading to reparations, I'd like to be a part of it. I'd like to put that on record, please, sir.
All right, we got it. And, thank you, Sam.
Yes, and then also I want to speak on something else that you mentioned, and I'd like to know, how could I become part of that anti-racism alliance that you have within your mayor's office?
So that actually wasn't me. That I was talking of, that was the Canty Anti-Racism Alliance, and they're a neighborhood-based group and organization in Southeast Baltimore who were really the folks pushing the issue around the O'Donnell statue.
So do you live in that part of the city, Liv?
No, I don't.
Okay. So what I can do is at least let me put you on hold, Demi, if you can get Liv information. That way we can at least kind of keep her connected to
yep,
this whole process.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, Liv. Thank you so much for checking in. Dwayne, you got something very quickly for the mail? Because I want to make sure your voice is heard.
Hello?
Yeah, you on the line. Go ahead, Dwayne.
What I wanted to say was I appreciate everything that the mayor's doing, and I support him 100%. But I want to warn him, you know, I just put this out there that we got to, let's be careful as we're trying to rebuild Baltimore, that we don't fall into the syndrome of putting old wine in new bottles, okay? I mean, hopefully, good mayor, you are doing everything in your power to make sure that we're not falling into that easy trap because, you know, as Baltimore comes online, everything is going to change, and we got to make sure that we're not just putting old thought processes in new buildings and new bottles and then expecting to have different results. We want, please make sure that the changes that you make are going to be result-based and not just where we just moved everybody into a new situation and with the same thought process they had before to produce the same lackluster results that we know that we are constantly dealing with in the city. As a young lady brought up before about can't get a car moved, because I have the same kind of problems when I call 311 for stuff that I would think is just simple.
All right. Hey, Dwayne, I got to let you go, but Mr. Mayor wanted to give you the final word. What's your take on that, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Dwayne, that's exactly what we're not.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me, Farad? Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me, Farad?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, great. I don't know what happened there. That's exactly what we're not going to do. You hear me talk about all the time, we have to build a new Baltimore. We have to build a Baltimore that works for all of us. You cannot build a new Baltimore on the foundation of a broken, inequitable city. That's why I'm hiring the people that I'm hiring. That's why we're building the team and the policy the way that we're doing it. This is about building Baltimore from the ground up. I'm the foundation builder. And one of the young people that are out there that I talk to, the brother Faraji talks to, will one day come behind me and put the top of the new Baltimore on to make us the greatest city that we've ever been.
Absolutely. Mayor of Baltimore, Mayor Brandon Scott. Mr. Mayor, it's always a pleasure. We thank you for taking time out your busy schedule to join us, sir. And God willing, we'll talk to you next month.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Pete.
Absolutely. Folks, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, should fathers pay prenatal child support? Stay right with me. That conversation is up next on For the Culture here on WEAA.